Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. Thank you for joining us. I'm Ursula Rudenberg, your host for today, together with Maggie Westfold.
Hello. It's great to be here, Ursula. And Cynthia is here with us, too. And it's great to be here with you, the listener. Starting out with the weather, showers and thunderstorms are likely all day today, with slightly less chance, but possibly more of the same into tonight. Between a quarter and a half an inch of rainfall is expected. Temperatures today should be in the high 60s. However, on Tuesday, temperatures are expected to go up as high as 85. Expect to see the sun on Tuesday, but by Tuesday evening, thunderstorms and rain should return. And on Wednesday, it seems it could go either way, sun or thunderstorms. Sounds like Iowa. It should stay hot, up around 85. I know that's not okay with a lot of people, including me. Same thing on Thursday. Both sun and thunderstorms are predicted, so it's wait and see. It's expected to get up to 88, though. Friday should be mostly sunny, but we may be in for a rainy weekend and slightly dropping temperatures.
Somewhat of an inconclusive weather forecast for this week, as is often the case in transitional weather. Speaking of looking up at the sky, hats off to the International Cassini team of scientists and technicians for last week's dramatic and successful conclusion to one of the most ambitious efforts in planetary space exploration. Probably you have followed some of the iconic photographs and information gathered by Cassini in the last 13 years, but as you probably know by now, the amazing technology called Cassini spaceship had a date with the Grim Reaper last week. And on Thursday, the spaceship began preparing to die by taking its final photographs of Saturn, its rings, and its moons, and then transmitted all the data on its recorder to Earth. I highly recommend checking out those last photographs. They are readily available online, and they are really something to see. And we just wanted to take a moment to honor Cassini. I know it's been eulogized a lot in the press, but we want to take our turn just because this project was just so damn fascinating. On Friday morning, as planned, Cassini navigated its own death plunge when it sank into Saturn's upper atmosphere at high speed. As it dived, it sampled Saturn's atmosphere and sent information about its composition and structure to Earth. When it crashed into Saturn, Cassini's antenna remained pointed towards Earth for about a minute. And amazingly, the spaceship was able to continue transmitting new data about Saturn's surface composition, an intrepid scientist to the end. Then the heat and the high pressure of the hostile atmosphere caused Cassini to burn and disintegrate. At 6:55 our time on Friday morning, NASA lost contact with Cassini and thus knew that it had become part of the planet that it had been sent to explore. I wanted to share with you the recording of that moment at Mission Control at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in California. This is what it sounds like when rocket scientists accomplish the perfect ending of a spaceship that they sent to a distant world that orbited Saturn for 13 years, relentlessly sending information to Earth that changed our understanding of the universe without crashing into anything and even landing a mini spaceship on one of its moons.
We were going to hit the atmosphere about 77,000 miles an hour. I see we're close, so. Two minutes and counting.
Oh, we're starting to exit the...
This is AACS-1.
Go ahead, AACS.
We're still waiting for transition to high rate mode, but it looks like we're going to start accumulating thruster on time at a higher rate now, and our attitude control error is starting to be more active.
Copy.
That means we're just starting to sense the atmosphere, right?
Yep. We can start seeing the spacecraft starting to lose the battle with the atmosphere.
This is ACS-1. We just had the transition to high rate mode, and with this, we're going to start seeing thruster on time accumulating very quickly, and the dead band is going to clamp down to 0.5.52 millirad, and we are in the atmosphere.
Copy, thank you.
Roughly 1 minute to loss of signal.
Systems, this is NAV.
Go ahead, NAV.
We can confirm what AACS just told you.
Copy, thank you.
So we're just starting to see the thrusters fire more and more. Yeah, everyone can.
Radio signal still holding. 30 seconds.
Systems lead, mission planning.
Go ahead, mission planning.
Spacecraft has just crossed 10 degrees north latitude, altitude 1,000 miles.
Copy, thank you.
Systems, AACS-1.
Go ahead.
With the additional thruster on time, we're going to also see the dead band start riding.
Copy.
We've crossed our zero time.
Flight Director, Ready Science. We have,
go ahead, Flight Director.
We have lots of signal that X-ray band has zero band.
Project manager, flight director.
Go ahead.
Okay, we call loss of signal, loss of X-band at... Call loss of signal at 115546 for the S-band, so that would be the end of the spacecraft.
Copy that. Project manager on FSO Coord. Maybe a trickle of telemetry left, but just heard the signal from the spacecraft is gone, and within the next 45 seconds, so will be the spacecraft. I hope you're all as deeply proud of this amazing accomplishment. Congratulations to you all. This has been an incredible mission, an incredible spacecraft, and you're all an incredible team. I'm going to call this the end of mission. Project manager, off the net.
If you've just joined us, that was the sound of the team members at Mission Control at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in California that have worked together from concept to the final minutes of the Cassini project to explore the planet Saturn. Saturn is the second largest in the solar system after Jupiter, and it has a prominent ring system that consisted of 9 continuous main rings and 3 discontinuous arcs, as well as 62 orbiting moons, of which 53 are officially named. There are also hundreds of moonlets comprising the rings, which are made of ice and rocky debris and dust. Giovanni Domenico Cassini lived from 1625 to 1712. He was a French astronomer born in Italy, and he discovered in 1675 Cassini's division, the gap that divides Saturn's rings into 2 parts and 4 of Saturn's moons. And this is Local Talk, and I'm Ursula Rudenberg, one of your hosts for today, together with Maggie Westfold. And like many other media outlets have done, we're taking a moment to eulogize this Cassini project, which ended in fire and disintegration into Saturn's surface as planned last Friday. We were hearing the moment that NASA lost contact with the exploratory safe spaceship Cassini, thus confirming its carefully orchestrated demise into the surface of Saturn. Although there were many options, mission scientists and operators chose this fiery ending because they didn't want to risk Cassini colliding with any of Saturn's moons, so they didn't want to leave it up there. On Monday, the spaceship did go close to Titan, Saturn's largest moon, with what mission engineers kind of affectionately called the goodbye kiss. Actually, the close call was designed to provide contact with gravity and assist the momentum that sent the spacecraft on its final plunge into Saturn. Cassini orbited Saturn for 13 years. Many of us were wowed by this project and couldn't believe the benefits that we received in terms of beautiful images from outer space. Cassini mission was actually an international effort that united NASA, the European Space Agency, and the Italian Space Agency. One of the things that's interesting to look at when you look at the space team, which is enormous, the mission team, it's a very diverse team. I can't help but notice that there's a lot of women on the team. The spacecraft was launched in 1997 and reached Saturn and its system in 2004, which was 900 miles away from Earth. Cassini traveled nearly 5 billion miles, executing 2.5 million commands, conducted 162 targeted flybys of Saturn moons, completed 294 orbits, and it collected data that has led to the publication of about 4,000 research papers. Its grand finale actually began last April with a series of 22 nail-biting plunges between Saturn and its rings, close to the planet and its moons, providing unprecedented insights. And it's really worth looking at the photographs from that time. One of Cassini's most startling paradigm-changing discoveries was ocean worlds at the two moons, Titus and Enceladus. In 2009, liquids were discovered, revealing that they could host life. Titan, Saturn's largest moon, not only has seas and lakes of liquid ethane and methane, it has an atmosphere of chemicals that rain down, forming a unique chemistry that could lead to life. This is why the Cassini project leaders did not want to risk leaving the spacecraft up there where it could collide with Saturn's moon. Although Cassini has been in space for 20 years, microbes from Earth could still exist on the spacecraft, and they didn't want to risk contaminating the moons or any future studies of the Earth particles. Thus ends the Cassini space technology that leaves no garbage up in space but leaves behind mountains of groundbreaking information and beautiful photographs that it sent to us on Earth. It was a perfect spacecraft, said Julie Webster, spacecraft operations chief. Right to the end, it did everything we asked. A lot of the information that I gathered, this report came from CNN's, credit to CNN. And this is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I'm Ursula Rudenberg, your host for today, together with Maggie Westvold.
Thanks, Ursula, for serving up KHOI's eulogy for Cassini.
And thank you for listening in. Maximum Ames Music Festival will be coming around next weekend. And KHOI here at 410 Douglas in the Pantorium will be the site of numerous concerts. We are excited to bring you a preview of some of the talent that you'll be hearing on the weekend. KHOI's Evan Taylor brings you this interview with local musician Satchel Bruna.
Today I'm in the studio with Satchel Bruna, who is going to be playing quite a few shows over the course of the Maximum Ames Music Festival. Satchel, tell us what all you are going to be up to. It sounds like you are going to have quite a busy weekend.
I will, indeed. Friday night, I'm playing with Blue Jack. And then Saturday, I'm playing in part of the Nova Labs Wheatsfield members showcase by myself. And then also that night, playing an after party with Sean Houston at Della Vitti. And then on Sunday, I open up the Flavor Basket show.
Yeah, definitely. And that'll be a particularly good show because you're on that bill with Free the Snakes and Morning Sex and the Good Weed, Wally Neal, yep, and Witch Tit. So what are you looking forward to most about the Maximum Ames Music Festival weekend? Yeah. I mean, it sounds like you're going to be more involved than you're going to be enjoying it. But
right. It's cool to see how it's evolved throughout the years since I remember playing in a basement show for the first one,
right,
7 years ago. So it's always cool to have September come around and see what goes on for Max Ames. So it'll be a lot of like the idea of just walking around from show to show, I guess, this year and seeing the energy and watching all the other musicians.
Yeah, it's really interesting because of the all access, all ages sort of philosophy that the Max Ames folks are taking this year.
Right.
But it sounds like you're doing Kind of a mix. Those after parties at actual bars, and then the official shows, you know, like at here at the station, and then at Wheat's Field, where everybody's going to be able to go.
Yeah, no, and there's a lot going on.
So for our listeners, would you elaborate a little bit on not just your personal kind of solo sort of style, but also the type of music that they can expect from Wichtit when people see your show at the station?
Yeah, Wichtit, man, it's a lot easier to experience it than to talk about it, which makes it sound very dramatic.
Sure.
But it's one of those things where you'd be like, hey, you know, this is what it is. And then people would be like, oh, wow, cool, you know, instead of being like, well, it's kind of like spacey, folky, 60s-ish, jammy, atmospheric music. And someone would be like, okay, I kind of know what that is.
Sure.
Very spooky, though. Very spooky.
Yeah, and your solo stuff, you sing and play guitar, but then for the band, you're actually drumming,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I drum for both Wichtit and also Blue Jack.
Right. Which it's pretty interesting too, because the majority of the members are female, you know, which you don't see so often in local music scenes.
Yes, that is true. I am the sole male member of the group, leaving me to the outnumbered female gender, which is really cool. You know, that's what's neat about it, and the aspect of this, you know, feminine power of coming together, and then I kind of ruin the party with my my, like, kind of masculinity.
You couldn't ask for a more talented group. Vanessa Ellsbury killing it on some bass. You have Lindsay Neeson and Beth Wilbur.
And there's Ashley playing keys.
Yeah, and one of the other kind of cool things that you all do is you have a lot of shows for the full moons.
Yes, yeah. So I first started going to the shows before I started playing in them, but they do happen every full moon in various spots. You know, the last one for September was out in a cornfield. Yeah, and they've been at various farms.
You also have at least one song that I can think of off the top of my head that is astral-themed. Mm-hmm. Andromeda, right?
Yeah, no, that is one that they were like, oh, like, Satchel, you know, you want to play one of your songs? And I was like, oh, I could do Andromeda. And they're like, yeah, we were thinking about doing that one. I was like, oh, cool, solid. And it's really strange hearing it, you know, because I just play that song in my bedroom.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And then hearing it with a full band is completely different. It's absolutely wild.
Sure, yeah. And with that, we'll take a listen to the solo version of Satchel Bruno's song Andromeda, recorded right here in the KHOI studio back in May.
Way.
dress in a wedding. Dip down, down, down through the clouds. By nightfall, I like to find you watching the moon pass. By the banks of the temples, we see and joy. How the world moves much too fast to be idle. And her words are ordered away to the ocean's roar. And in the morn I'll find you in the meadow with your thoughts alone. And near a pool I'll go in a glisso with lilies growing. So short a hole in life such as this. If I could sing, I would take you home. Sound of which you walk upon, breezing down in old Solomon's mind. Oh, child, do tell me, ain't you come so blue-eyed? And where have you been all this time? Will I sail the last ocean mouth of emotion? And I've heard every one of you wise birds cry of a love so set in all a hammering crystal. And as a pilgrim a sight shall come to watch it shine. Once I had a dream of Egypt and on a road, roaring animals on the sunrise and a lover's repose. In your gaze I see the world spin as any sun in the dark. Come, dear reader, I beg you, adorn your hair with the wreath of my leaves. Oh, once I was everything, as now you find yourself to be. A man once lived here, same in. A man spoke once and would never stay. Of flux and flow, eternal souls bathed in a stream. Is all this life but a dream? So kiss if you can all the dawn before it leaves your lips, leaving me only the dust is an audience. Come to Kairos and dance a billion year old ballet.
Thank you, Evan. You're listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, looking forward to the Maximum Ames Music Festival. I'm one of your hosts, Maggie Westfold. Thank you for listening. Matt Koronis is also a Central Iowa artist, a painter, not a musician. Matt is from Ames, and in a few weeks, his art is going to take him to Florence. He's been accepted in the Florence, Italy Biennial.
Welcome, Matt.
Thank you.
Matt, by the way, also gave the assist with the information about who Cassini was. While I was giving the Cassini eulogy, Matt looked up who Cassini actually was on the cell phone.
An Italian astronomer? Sorry.
A French astronomer who came from Italy.
Right. Correct.
You also brought up the Cassini oval.
Yeah, Cassini oval is the shape that the stitches are on a baseball. So it's a geometric shape.
So, Matt, what is the Florence Biennial?
It's an international art show. Happens every 2 years in Florence in October. It'll be artists from many countries, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
How many artists are we really talking about here?
I think over 100.
Mm-hmm. So this is traditionally an international art show.
Yep.
And where in Florence is this happening? Do you know?
At a fort.
At a fort.
This.
Okay. That sounds like Europe.
Yeah.
And so what are you showing there?
Three paintings, marbling technique on plexiglass, 2 foot square. Three pieces that are 2 foot square.
Can you describe the work a little bit more in depth?
So if you could imagine a marbling of paper, mm-hmm. or that kind of the way turbulence operates in fluid dynamics, it's like a physics principle. So paint that kind of swirls together. So the daily thought about that would be when you put cream and coffee, you know, the shapes that it makes through that kind of turbulence is how the paint is operating on the plexiglass and then kind of captured in time. It's mm-hmm. very colorful, too.
So. It's very colorful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, how did you end up being able to do this, getting into the show?
The show showed up on my Facebook feed, so I applied. 3 days later, got an acceptance letter, and just going from there.
And did you send in these marbled images in the application?
No, the application had 4 images, and they were 2 images of zombies and then 2 images of portraits of zombies, representations of the mixed media work.
Cynthia's a zombie aficionado. Cynthia, you have any questions to ask Matt?
Well, I'm wearing the CDC Are You Prepared t-shirt with a zombie apocalypse theme. So if you're prepared for a zombie apocalypse, you're prepared for a tornado. do I have any questions? It sounds interesting, the fluid dynamics of your marbling technique. So you're going to actually demonstrate that at the event, or will you just have prepared pieces there?
I'll have prepared pieces, okay. Yeah.
So this is a big event. Do you know the history of it? If it's been going on since, you know,
for maybe many 20 years, 25 years, quite a while.
Well, older than you, young man. I will give this back to Ursula.
So, Matt, how do you feel about this? Are you excited about going to Florence?
Yeah, it's going to be totally fun. I love Florence. I've been there a couple times. They have a lot to teach us about sustainability.
So when you go to to be in a show like this, what do you actually do? What are you doing?
I'll be by the booth or the display.
So you'll have it's kind of like an exhibition with booths.
Yeah, space, uh-huh. a wall space. Then we're supposed to be there to talk to people and describe the work.
And people come from all over the world to see this, and presumably because this is Florence.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Do you have a hotel room, or what are you going to do?
Oh, boy.
You don't know where you're going to sleep.
We will.
Okay.
We have plane tickets. Got a passport.
Wow, he sounds like an artist.
That's awesome.
Got a sleeping bag.
So what do you think you're going to learn from this experience other than how to sleep on the streets of Florence?
There's just the impression that Florence makes of, like, they've been building things a long time. And most applicably, there's a long tradition of marbling paper in Florence. So I can visit a shop and see how it's really done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then try to apply that to what I'm doing when marbling paint.
And presumably this is an opportunity to talk to artists from all over the world, right? Because
yeah.
you're kind of going to be a gathering.
Yeah.
And is this something that is interesting to you?
Yeah, I like it.
So tell us a little bit what point you're at as an artist.
Just making it happen. Yeah.
You've been working professionally for a while?
Yeah.
For how long?
So. Like 10 years.
10 years?
Yeah.
You told me prior to going on the air that you just sold, actually, a painting that relates to Cassini, right?
Yeah. It's a picture of a moon orbiting Saturn, and on this moon is like a interpretation of a Persian miniature painting. So it's this like interesting image I extracted and made colorful and then applied to paint and then put it all together.
Mm-hmm. And it's very beautiful. Matt showed me the image. It's very beautiful. And according to the Cassini spaceship, it's possible that somebody actually on Saturn could paint that because it's possible that there's life on Saturn's moon.
Yeah. I wasn't even thinking about it when I'm painting it. It's just kind of abstractly, it's like signals sent to me or something.
Picked it up as an artist.
Yeah. Yeah.
So talk for a minute about being an artist. What do you find most important for you?
Just working with color, trying to find patterns of the world and to strum a chord that resonates with the viewer.
Yeah, well, ask an artist what's important and they'll say what's important is how things look, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. And do you have a sense of where the seed for your life as an artist came from? What
for
launched
sure.
you?
It would have been Dorothy Google at Ames High.
Dorothy Google.
Yeah, big up.
Otherwise known as Goog.
Yeah. She was the best teacher I ever had. I went to graduate school and undergraduate school and so forth, but she was just a brilliant teacher. She's the kind of teacher where I showed up the first day of senior year of high school and brought an art project I'd been working on that summer. And so she appreciated like taking the initiative. I made work because I wanted to impress her and it was fun to do.
What was it about Dorothy Google that made
this work
for you? She
was just a lot of fun.
She was a lot of fun.
She related to the students. Like, she used to watch Beavis and Butthead and, like, talk to us about it because it was on MTV and that's what the kids were watching. So she had a way of, like, relating to the students. So.
Yeah, and it's funny because there's a number of people nodding their heads in the room here. I myself had Dorothy Google as an art teacher, and it's absolutely correct what you're saying. It actually makes sense that you're bringing her up because she's a person who influenced a lot of people.
She's a beacon
of
light.
Young people. Yeah, sure. She influenced a lot of artists and names, a lot of young artists, and I absolutely remember her that way, too.
My son also had – this is Maggie. I also – my son had Dorothy Google. I heard – I conferenced with her. She – wonderful lady, and everybody loved her. Yeah, and I heard the word – the name Goog a lot when Doug would talk about
Goog.
Her. Yeah.
I tried to convince her to dye her hair blue freshman year, and she never – she told me she would, and she never did, so – that's the only one.
Maybe that's been one of her fun things in retirement, you think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she turned into a search engine. Like, how did that happen?
Yes, she did.
We always knew she was going places.
With blue hair. Yeah.
So shout out to Dorothy Google, who is somewhere in South Dakota. Is that right, Maggie?
Yes, she's in Spearfish, South Dakota, I learned. And she's
enjoying her retirement?
Happily retired and... I had a wonderful visit with her yesterday, and she sends regards to Matt and to Ursula and to my son, whom I talked with her about.
So you hear that, Dorothy Google? You hear that, Goog? One of your students is going to Florence Biennial.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Matt.
Thank you.
Any last words, Matt, before you check out?
I emailed her pictures of the zombies, and she loved them. It was like a year ago. And,
that's great.
She thought they were really fun. So.
I'm looking at a photo here.
Yeah, he's showing us a beautiful photograph. But thank you, Matt, for sharing your success with us.
Yeah.
And please come by to give us a report when you get back from Florence, Italy.
For sure.
Yes, thanks,
and
Matt.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Ames artist Matt Koronis representing Central Iowa in the Florence, Italy Biennial.
Okay, ChildServe is holding Ames Carnival on Saturday the 23rd with games and activities in jungle-themed animal rooms. And Fern Kupfer is here to explain about that. Welcome, Fern. Tell us what's going to be happening with Ames Carnival.
Well, actually, I was just walking downtown. I'm on the community board. I don't work at ChildServe, which is a nonprofit that really helps children with disabilities. And so I volunteered. It was beautiful weather to walk around and put up signs for the carnival, which is September 23rd at ChildServe on Philadelphia Street. That's right behind Wolf Clinic when you drive down 13th Street. Mm-hmm. And so I came into the radio station asking for a free announcement. And the next thing I knew, I'm getting up to come here and talk about it.
Yeah.
So just threw, good thing we're on radio. Just threw something on and came on down. So that's the carnival, which is really to publicize ChildServe. And I'm asked to come in and talk about what ChildServe is. And here I am. It's a it's a wonderful organization.
Well, who all should go to the carnival?
Well, anyone with kids can go to the carnival. And actually, the Ames Library had when they were having their book sale, book giveaway the last day. I took cartons of children's books, and I convinced them that rather than a cakewalk, which kids do love, but it's pretty unhealthy. I said, how about a book walk? And so there's going to be lots of free books given away. So there'll be stuff to do and games. And so anyone with young children can come. It's Saturday, September 23rd from 10 to 2. And there would be food trucks available for purchase. But everything there is, you know, open to the public. So it's just to show what ChildServe is and the kind of services that they have.
Okay.
And it's a pretty terrific place. It was started in Ames 15 years ago. Marv and Jan Walters were very, very generous donors to help start ChildServe in Ames. And it has all sorts of programs for daycare, integrated programs with children with disabilities, programs for children with brain injuries, physical rehab, and they just started a new autism program. So it serves almost 600 people now, and it still has a waiting list. There's a lot of need for this.
Okay, can you? I did know of ChildServe, and I know it's a wonderful. I have a family member who benefited from its services for several years. Can you kind of talk about what happens there?
Well, you know, it's interesting you said you have a family member who benefited from that service, because when I was just giving out the flyers, so many people said to me in the library, you know, in stores, oh, my neighbor's child goes to ChildServe. It has specialized programs that helps with children with disabilities, and it has teachers, physical therapists, carpenters who rework some wheelchair adaptations, children who need help with who are on the autism spectrum. I was familiar with ChildServe a very long time ago. I had a severely disabled child who was at what was called the CHC in Des Moines, and CHC was originally called the Children's Convalescent Home, the Convalescent Home for Children, CHC, does that work? Mm-hmm. And I think it was started in the 20s when there were children who had polio, and then it became the Children's Rehabilitation Center, and then ChildServe took over. So ChildServe is a nonprofit that's around Iowa now, but particularly in Ames, it's just a wonderful facility run by people with good hearts in a nonprofit. You know, one of the things when you're a parent of a disabled child, it's often lonely because you're not in groups with other kids who are running and playing and doing things. And so, you know, they say it takes a village to raise a child. Well, it really takes a village to raise a special needs child. And that's what ChildServe serves.
Yeah, right.
In this community.
Right.
And it's such a wonderful service to have it. You know, with all the cutbacks and how scary things are politically, I think this is something that people always open up their hearts to, and maybe sometimes their wallets is, you know, a child with special needs.
Does ChildServe provide services in homes?
They do some home visits, but it's mostly in-house. You know, one of the best things, I think, that and something I certainly needed when I was a young mother taking care of a very severely disabled child was respite care. Mm-hmm. You know, you need a break.
Right.
You know, you need a break from, like, regular kids. And mm-hmm. you're allowed to say in the summer, you know, moms are allowed to say in the summer, oh, this kid is driving me crazy. I want him out of the house. You can't, you really can't say that too often about your disabled child. Right. You know, people look at you bad. And
yeah,
so
don't we? Yes.
Yeah, and so they have, you know, programs for, you know, teenagers, all sorts of kids with disabilities where they're taking them out into the community doing stuff. One of the workers said to me the other day, oh, we rode a lot of buses in Ames to go places, and it was really fun for them.
Right, right. The kids would love that. Can you talk about the autism program you mentioned?
Well, I wish I could more, but it just started.
Okay.
And the other day when I picked up the flyers, there were two workers there who were talking to us about the autism program. So they take children who are recently diagnosed from 2 years to five.
Okay.
It's a program that's not filled up yet, which will be filled up pretty soon, I think. And they work with a very good ratio with kids on the spectrum, learning language skills, communication, playing with others, you know, all the good things you're supposed to do in kindergarten.
You say it's not filled up. If people are – if listeners are interested, can you talk about how to contact Child Serve?
Well, you know, Child Serve has a Facebook page. It's on Philadelphia Street right behind Wolf Clinic. I think I'm giving a big plug for Wolf Clinic, but that's how you see it when you go down 13th Street. You can go on childserve.org. You can do what everyone does. Just Google Child Serve Ames, and there's a host of information.
Maggie and Fern, both of you, when we spoke about this prior to the radio interview, I really felt that both of you feel passionate about this program. It means a lot to you.
Well, I do. Just quickly, I do. I have a great niece whose name is Anna, and Anna was born with Angel syndrome, and she's a beautiful child. She's 11 or 12 now, has exceeded what was ever expected of her, and she was with Child Serve for a few years.
You know, I think the important thing is when you say she exceeded everything that was expected. Mm-hmm. Some kids don't, but the families still need help. And when you have to – I always felt like, you know, as a mom, I needed help too. And so I think Child Serve really focuses on the child, but the family is in there as well. So you don't feel so lonely.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You need sanity time. Yeah. Also, the respite you talked about. And it's just wonderful service.
Yeah, we're really lucky to have it. And it's a beautiful physical facility. And that's why if people go to the carnival, they can tour inside and see the adaptive equipment and see what goes on there. It's great to have in Ames.
And we've been hearing about Child Serve and their upcoming event called Carnival. Fern Kupfer has been with us. And Fern, just say one more time the details of the event.
Okay, it is September 23rd. It's from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. You might not want to stay that long with your three-year-old, but you can stop in, and there'll be some food available, and there's games and books. There's a lot of books. And
thank you.
Thanks for support.
Thanks so much for coming in.
Bye.
Thanks.
We're gonna do a little bit of a switcheroo right now, a little bit of rustling on the air. But while we do that, why don't we swing that microphone over? And we have a few more folks in the studio. If you could introduce yourselves while we usher Fern out, that would be awesome.
Good morning. I'm Brenda Dreyer with the Ames Chamber, and I serve as the Director of Workforce Solutions with that organization.
Introduce yourself.
I'm Tyler.
I'm Kevin.
We are going to have them on the air next Monday, but we wanted to just have a few minutes for you guys to give a shout out. Give us just a quick preview of what's to come next Monday.
Well,
and thank you for coming in.
We are so excited about a couple different programs that are going on here in Story County. Back to school season has launched some very unique partnerships with our business community and our students in our school districts across Story County. And so one of the programs we wish to highlight is the Business Engagement and Collaborative Program here at Ames High. It's for juniors and seniors. And at the Chamber, we're really excited because we have six of those students working in our offices, not only in projects for the Chamber, but projects across the Ames and Story County business community. So these students are involved in that program.
So give us a preview of what you plan to talk about next week.
We plan to talk about a highlight of some of our projects and the businesses we're working for currently.
What kind of projects are you working on?
I have quite an array of projects. I have website design, interior design, some video production products.
Wow. So are you finding this program helpful?
Very much. This is my second year in the program, mm-hmm. so I've kind of figured out what type of business fields I like and what ones I'm not really into. So
you see a future for yourself as a business person?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this being my first year, have still already learned like a very immense amount of knowledge, which I feel is very important. And then also, I love this because you get to choose like the different projects you want, and it's a really good time to like experiment with what you want to do, because there are like the mentors above you that can kind of help. So you aren't necessarily super like, you don't have to worry about it as much, but you still get that really good hands-on experience.
Awesome. So be sure to check in next Monday to hear the story of these two young up-and-coming business people. And I'm looking forward to hearing your story as well. And thank you, Brenda, for bringing them in, and look forward to seeing you next
Monday. We will
see
you next Monday.
Okay. Thank you. And this has been Local Talk at KHOI Community Radio. Earlier in the show, we heard from local painter Matt Coronas, local musician Satchel Bruna, and the folks at Mission Control at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory.
Local Talk airs at 7 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m. here on KHOI at 89.1 FM. Also, remember that you can also hear it online at khoifm.org and find links to the guests and information you heard during the program. KHOI is streaming live online at khoifm.org. Our engineer today was Cynthia McClure. Our theme song, as always, is Backtrackin' by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Local Talk is a radio production workshop as well as a show, so if you would like to try your hand at reporting, we'll train you. Come and join the Local Talk team. Remember, you, the listener, are what makes KHOI meaningful and possible. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again on the radio.
Funding for KHOI comes in part from the Octagon Center for the Arts, bringing you the Octagon Art Festival,
about 77,000 miles an hour. I see we're close, so. 2 minutes and counting.
This is ACS-1.
Go ahead, ACS.
We're still waiting for transition to high rate mode, but it looks like we're going to start accumulating thruster on time at a higher rate now, and our attitude control error is starting to be more active.
Copy.
Yeah, thanks. We're just starting to sense the atmosphere, right?
Yep, we can start seeing the spacecraft starting to lose the battle with the atmosphere.
This is ACS-1. We just had the transition to high rate mode, and with this we're going to start seeing thruster on time accumulating very quickly, and the deadband is going to clamp down to 0.5.52 millirad, and we are in the atmosphere.
Copy, thank you.
Roughly 1 minute to loss of signal.
Systems, this is NAV. Go ahead, Nav. We can confirm what AACS just told you. Copy, thank you.
We're just starting to see the thrusters fire more and more. Yeah.
Radio signal still holding. 30 seconds.
Systems lead, mission planning.
Go ahead, mission planning.
Spacecraft has just crossed 10 degrees north latitude, altitude 1,000 miles.
Copy, thank you.
Systems, ACS-1.
Go ahead.
With the additional thruster on time, we're going to also see the dead band start riding.
Copy.
Oh, yeah.
We've crossed our zero time.
Flight Director, Ready Science. We have
go ahead, Flight Director.
We have lots of signal that X-ray band has zero band.
Project Manager, Flight Director.
Go ahead.
Okay, we call loss of signal, loss of X-band at... Call loss of signal at 115546 for the S-band, so that would be the end of the spacecraft.
Copy that. Project Manager on FSO Quart. Maybe a trickle of telemetry left, but just heard the signal from the spacecraft is gone, and within the next 45 seconds, so will be the spacecraft. I hope you're all as deeply proud of this amazing accomplishment. Congratulations to you all. This has been an incredible mission, an incredible spacecraft, and you're all an incredible team. I'm going to call this the end of mission. Project Manager, off the net.
Funding for KHOI comes in part from the Octagon Center for the Arts, bringing you the Octagon Art Festival with original artwork, live entertainment, and a variety of food. Information is available at octagonarts.org. That's octagonarts.org.